the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
Well, I'm on the air. I thought I wasn't going to be able to do a show this week, but something happened and everything worked out, so I decided to do a show. It'll probably be a short one, but it's a holiday anyway. This is the What Are You Reading comic book show, and I'm your host, The Surfer, here on RantEMRadio.com. And you can listen many ways here on RantEM Radio. You can listen in the live chat room. You can listen on TuneIn or Podbean, or you can listen to this show and many other shows on download on Stitcher. No, so Stitcher, you can listen live. TuneIn, you can listen live. iTunes and Podbean, you can listen on the download. Now, I got that right. Okay. So, if you want to join the show and talk to me, you can do so on Skype at SilverSurfer_forever. And what's the first thing I want to get out of the way real quick is some box office numbers. Of course, this is usually the slowest box office weekend there is of the year. And not much as far as new movies, but as far as the movies that have been out. The animated movie Leap is in fourth place with $4.8 million. Spider-Man Homecoming drops down to $7 million with $3.6 million. Emoji Movie is in eighth place with $2.4 million. Believe it or not, the Emoji Movie had made $80 million. So, you may get more Emoji Movies because it surpassed its budget. Despicable Me 3 is down in ninth place with $2.3 million. Nut Job 2, Nutty by Nature, is $2 million. It's short of its budget of $40 million with only $25 million after 4 weeks. Wonder Woman's in 12th place, $1.9 million. Close Encounters of the Third Kind, 40th anniversary in the theaters, made $1.8 million. To be returned in the theaters. Cars 3 is down to 1.7 million. The Dark Tower is 1.6 million at 17. The Inhumans, the IMAX only screening of the pilot for the Inhuman TV show, is in 18th place with 1.5 million. I'll get into the Inhumans in a moment. And that's about it for as box office goes. Now that's out of the way. Let's talk about the Inhumans TV show that originally was supposed to have been a movie in 2020. For some reason, when Spider-Man came in the picture and Ant-Man became successful and so on, and movies started getting pushed back so they could squeeze in other movies, they decided to make the Inhumans a TV show. But I don't know whose idea it was, whether it was Marvel or IMAX. They decided to film it, with the pilot, with IMAX cameras so they could show it in the theaters for 2 weeks. But it looks like now they're only going to show it for 1 week. So if you are curious to see it in IMAX, you only got less than a week to see it now. And some reviews are coming out that's been not favorable, which is why it seemed like IMAX decided to shorten the time in the theaters from 2 weeks to one. And I did see it in IMAX, because that's what I do. And here's my thoughts on the TV show. Now, this idea that it's the worst thing you've seen and it's terrible, more worse than Iron Fist and so forth, it's just people going a little overboard. Now, as far as critics go, not talking about the nerd fan base critics, I'm talking about real critics that, you know, write for newspapers and stuff like that. I don't know if they judged it as a movie or as a TV show. So I can't think about what they were thinking, you know. And as far as the fan base, well, I think there's a snowball effect going on here. Because once the word got out that it wasn't that good, then, you know, it's all, see, it gets set in people's minds that it's not going to be good. So they already going to go in thinking this is going to be terrible. And so they're not going to like it anyway. And it seemed like when some people was walking out of the theater that I was in, some guy screamed out, "That's the worst thing ever." You know, young people, you need to pull it together. You know, I get it. You haven't seen as much as I have, but I've seen a lot worse than what this pilot episode is. Now, it seemed like they are taken from the Inhuman storyline or the Silent Wars. Now, I don't know if the whole run is going to be based on that or not, but at least this part of this episode was. In the beginning, you know, they have this ceremony where these young Inhumans are being exposed to the Terrigen Mist to see what kind of powers they would create. And it's this young man, this young woman. And you got the royal family around and the people that's responsible for doing the ceremony. And the girl comes out and she has these butterfly-like wings and everybody's all excited. Oh, she's a flyer. But the boy comes out and he doesn't know if he has any powers or not. Which then, because of their society, if you go into the Terrigen Mist and you don't have any powers, then you go into the mines. And you work in the mines. But apparently he does have powers that Black Bolt realizes when this kid touches Black Bolt. He sees a future of Black Bolt. So Black Bolt realizes this but doesn't say anything. Now, one of the things that happened is, you know, humans are sending probes into the moon. And one of the Land rovers, I guess they're what they called, probes, runs into the barrier of Adalan, and it they don't know why, because it's invisible as far as, you know, everybody outside of the dome can see. And then Gorgon destroys it, but, you know, it does catch a blurry picture of him crushing the probe. So, of course, Maximus, who is the brother to the king, Black Bolt, he's sitting there saying, you know what, we need to stop hiding in this dome, because these humans eventually are going to find us, and then when they do, they're going to come after us, and we need to go to Earth, we need to strike first. And Black Bolt, who doesn't say much, can't say anything, you know, and in this version, he does a lot of sign language, you know, he's like, no, we don't need to be going to Earth, we don't need to be starting wars, everything's going to be cool. And, you know, his Queen Medusa, his wife, does a lot of talking for him. And you have Gorgon, and you have Karnak and Crystal. They're all part of the royal family. And how they all part of the royal family, Black Bolt and Maximus are brothers. And then Gorgon, Karnak are the cousins, along with Trigon, who makes a brief appearance in this first episode. He's sent to Earth to help bring back Inhumans that are on Earth, because, you know, what has happened in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. with the Terra Gemist getting into the water supply, and, you know, people that were hidden Inhumans, they didn't know they had the Inhuman line in them. You know, they're transforming. Of course, that's been causing major strife in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. over the last two or three seasons, because, you know, a lot of people see them as a threat, because some of them are super powerful, and you have government agencies trying to hunt them down. You have, like, the group called the Watchdogs that would be hunting them down. And in this one, it looks like one girl's being hunted down over in Hawaii. And she runs across Trigon, who's trying to tell her, look, I can get you someplace safe, just follow me. But, of course, it's television, and, you know, and it's Hollywood on top of that. So they always make it seem like women aren't as smart as they're supposed to be. And instead of following the guy like they're supposed to, she decides to run off in a different direction after a while, which she ends up getting killed, and then he ends up getting shot, and he falls into the water, so now he's missing. So they have to send a rescue party, and Gorgon goes after him to find his cousin, and then he's being attacked by, it looks like, Watchdog, but it turns out these are men working for Maximus, because Maximus have decided he's going to take over. You know, he's been warning his brother about what they need to do, and the Maximus is supposed to, you know, he's in love with Medusa too. And this is all from the books, but, and they said Maximus, when he went through the Terror Just Missed, became human, which I don't know if they don't realize he's, I don't know if he's supposed to be hiding his abilities, or they just wrote him that he has no abilities, because in the books, you know, he has the power to mind control people, not in a overt way, but, you know, subtle ways he can control people. And then, of course, he's going into the populace and like, yeah, you know, I can do this for you and I can do that for you, and Black Bolt this, and you need to follow me. And so out of nowhere, of course, all of a sudden the Royal Guard is following Maximus. They don't explain why or how. And so they try to arrest all of the royal family, and Crystal uses Lockjaw to get most of them out of harm's way, but not before Medusa gets her hair cut. And, like, he's supposed to be taking them all to where Gorgon is, but he's just dropping them off randomly all through Hawaii. And so everybody escapes the sex except Crystal. But, you know, Black Bolt, he doesn't know what's going on, because he's in a little meditation room, because, you know, his voice can just wipe out a planet. And, you know, he has his little room where, everybody's safe from him. He's in there while this coup is going on, so when they come for him, you know, he can just end it with, you know, a little whisper of his voice. But Lockjaw shows up and whisks him away, and then now everybody's separated, and even Crystal, who doesn't get away, and she's locked in her room. And now the hunt's on to find all the Inhumans so that Maximus can take over, and he's going to try to start a war with the humans. Now, that was the first episode. Now, I thought we was going to see two episodes, but it did not, unless it was two episodes and they just didn't show a break in the action. But it seemed like it only lasted an hour, so so it's, to me, it was not the worst thing ever made, or the worst thing Marvel was made, and so on and so forth. It was just a pilot to a TV show. There's a lot worse out there, people. Now, Do you need to see it in IMAX and spend your money? No. But give the TV show a chance. Don't just judge it off what other people are saying. And don't already set in your mind this is going to be terrible, because then it will be terrible to you. Now, in the Silent War book, you know, humans do go up and they get their hands on the Terrigen crystals and they steal them. And that's when Brack Bolt declares war to get them back. And then there's this turmoil and Adelan almost gets destroyed because they sent up these enhanced humans. And one of them was set to explode, which he did. And somehow Maximus does take over for a little bit, but I don't know if they're going to follow that particular storyline throughout the TV show. So, judge for yourself. Don't listen to people, and don't assume that if something's not great, then you have to throw it in the terrible category. And you should always give a TV show more than one episode before you judge it good or bad, because the pilot can be shot one way and then the rest of the show can be improved. Constantine, the pilot wasn't as good as the rest of the season. So let's see what happens. You know, it does seem like they was just trying to rush this pilot to get it done in time for it to broadcast in IMAX, as opposed to, you know, taking the time. Now, there's some things about Black Bolt they don't seem to have shown yet, because, you know, in the comics, in addition to having this voice that can just shadow worlds, Black Bolt, he also has superhuman strength and flight, and we didn't see none of that yet out of Black Bolt. You know, he's not in the comic book costume. He has this outfit that's similar without the hood. No pitchfork on his forehead, which his costume does. Lockjaw has it, but it only comes out when he's teleporting, and then it kind of goes back into his skin when he's just normal. What do we see other Inhumans from Adelan now? We don't know yet. There's this one agent working for Maximus, who's on Earth hunting the royal family, and I don't know what her deal is as far as why she decided to follow Maximus, whether she's just, you know, being manipulated, or she believes in the cause, or maybe she's in love with him. But apparently she don't die, because she's stabbed by Medusa a few times. You think she's left for dead, but then she pops up the end. Come on, I need more help. So, and Karnak, who his main ability is to see. He's supposed to be able to see flaws in everything, and then of course he's supposed to be a master at martial arts. Well, this one, he seems to be able to calculate everything. And he's trying to climb down this hillside, and he falls and hits his head. So now his abilities are off, because he's trying to walk to civilization, but he ends up walking into a circle, and he realizes that his shit is off. So, and Gorgon just wants to hurt somebody at this point, and he's stuck on a beach with some surfers waiting for anybody to come so he can fight them. At the same time, trying to look for Triton. So, that's all I have to say. And Stanley, what's wrong with you being an Inhuman? We got somebody new I've never seen in the chat room. Beautiful baby, how you doing? Yeah, you're right. Sometimes the story doesn't come into focus until you've seen the whole season. And all I'm saying is just watch it for yourself when it comes on TV, and try to keep open mind. It was just okay. I mean, all this is terrible. I'm watching, and I'm like, I don't see anything that's supposed to make it so god awful. It was just, you know, it was a standard TV show. They did not put a lot of money into the budget for special effects. And so, that's it. Yeah, so, what news can I get into real quick? Yeah, shout out to everybody in Texas. You know, their lives are turned upside down because of the hurricane victims, and you know, wishing well, and you want to donate to the Red Cross or other organizations, please do so. But you know who is helping the hurricane victims? Spider-Man. Now, a guy in a Spider-Man costume went to some shelters to help cheer some kids up. He says thousands of people have been displaced by the devastation levels of rainwater and flooding as Hurricane Harvey continues to devastate southeastern Texas. Many of those have been displaced by natural disasters that have been taken to the George R. Brown Convention Center in Houston. As adults and children take shelter in this convention center, one person trying to brighten up young victims' spirits by dressing up as our friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Seth Manicero of Spectrum News and Austin captured the video of this would-be Peter Parker greeting children and brightening up their day just a bit as they face hardships that they can't possibly comprehend. So, good for you, Spider-Man. See, there's real heroes that care. They help. They want to help out the peoples. And let's see what else. So, we're about a month away from all our TV shows coming back on the air. Flash and Arrow and Gotham that people hate, but somehow still on the air, so somebody's watching it. Let's see. Speaking of Harvey Relief, Scott Snyder is donating all the money from Dark Knight Metal number 2 to pay Harvey Relief. So, if that wasn't a reason enough to buy the book, you know that it's supposed to be going to a good cause. The Hurricane Harvey, which is currently causing unprecedented catastrophic damage along the Texas coastline, could easily end up being the... Okay, we know about that. longtime Batman writer Scott Snyder is proving that not all heroes wear capes by revealing that he'll be donating his pay to the upcoming second issue of Dark Knight Metal to the American Red Cross to help those affected by the devastating storm. Snyder took to Twitter this afternoon to reveal how plans to help victims of the hurricane while encouraging others to do what they can to support the effort. So, if all you want to do is buy a comic book, well, that's one to buy when it comes out, and you'll do your tiny part to help victims of Harvey. And more Harvey news. Disney and KTR FTV commits $1 million to the Harvey relief. So even Disney getting in on the action. Of course, Disney is part of Florida, and you know they do get hit by hurricanes too. So the Walt Disney Company and its own ABC station KTRK in Houston today jointly announced a $1 million cash commitment to the Red Cross in support of recovery efforts for its communities affected by Hurricane Harvey. In addition, on Thursday, August 31st, that was a couple of days ago, Disney ABC Television Group will host a day of giving to benefit those impacted by Hurricane. Starting in the morning with ABC local affiliate in Good Morning America, and throughout the day, ABC Freeform, Radio Disney, and across the DATG social platforms will be called to action to donate to the American Red Cross with those dollars given to benefits of those most impacted. So, let's hope that this money gets to the people that needs to be helped. And so forth. Let's see, where are we at? You know, they're doing a Hellboy reboot. And one of the people that was reportedly being cast in it was Ed Skrein, who you may know from Deadpool and the reboot of the Transporter. Well, he was supposed to play a character who, in the comic books, is Asian. So he decided to not take the role because of the whitewashing concerns. And he said, just a week after joining the upcoming Hellboy reboot, actor Ed Skrein has exited from the movie over the whitewashing controversy that followed his casting. Skrein was cast as Benjamin Damio, a character of mixed Asian heritage. Subsequently, the comic book fans was quick to call the casting out as another instance of whitewashing in Hollywood. The actor revealed his decision to leave via an image post of his official Twitter account. I accept the role, unaware that the character and his origins in the comic was mixed Asian heritage, Skrein explained in his statement. There has been a lot of intense conversations and understandable upset since the announcement, but I must do what I feel is right. Good for you, man, because you know, Hollywood, you know, for some reason they think that the middle of America won't accept diversity in the images that they see in the movies and so forth. And so they think that they have to change the ethnicity of a lot of characters that are not Caucasian to make it more acceptable. And we're in the 21st century. If you don't show them images of other people, then of course they're never going to change, because if all you do is feed them milquetoast images, then that's all they're ever going to want. And so, you know, real quick about one of the things about racism is people buy into images and stereotypes of other ethnicities, and if they know no other way or taught no other way, then it compounds their image of their negative stereotypes of everybody else, and then that's what they believe in. And until you start showing more positive images, that's just one of the things you can do to help change racism. Now, some things are going to be taught to people that it didn't matter who or what. I mean, there's going to be hateful people, but there are people that you can reach, and you know, everything don't have to be white leading male, and then maybe the rest of us get roles in the background. You can do more to expand people's minds, Hollywood. That's just me. Anyway, let's see. What's next? Oh, well, no, those are last week's stories. Joss Whedon is going to receive a writing credit for Justice League, not a directing credit. You know, of course, he took over as director for I don't know, I'm blanking his name now. Well, we know what happens. He left because of personal tragedies, and Joss Whedon, who was helping out, and is going to do a Batgirl movie, you know, kind of took over for the reshoots. And now I don't know how much this movie's going to be, what he shot, and how much would Zack Snyder shot this, that's his name, yeah, but Yeah, Zack Snyder will get the directing credit, and Joss Whedon will get a writing credit for the movie, so, along with other people. Now, Hasbro's suing DC over the name Bumblebee. Now, people need to stop. So Hasbro filed a trademark infringement lawsuit Monday against DC Comics and Warner Brothers over the use of the name Bumblebee for marketing toys. Now, you know the Transformers have the Bumblebee car, but DC has the Bumblebee character, who's a girl that she's like the Wasp. You know, she shrinks down, she grows wings, and she shoots stingers and stuff. And, you know, it's just a Wasp copy. But she was introduced in 1977 as a character, and Bumblebee, of course, didn't come out to the 80s, the Transformer Bumblebee. And, you know, she was part of the Teen Titans in the comics, and she was in the Young Justice TV show. But the big thing now is she's part of the DC Superhero Girls. And, of course, that whole line is to market toys to girls. So, you know, I just think it's ridiculous that there's a lawsuit where everybody's going to be spending money. And, you know, no girl is going to, no boy is going to say, "Mommy, I want a Bumblebee toy," and get brought back a DC Superhero Girls toy. Most people know that, you know, it's going to be a Transformer. I don't think there's going to be any confusion when the parents go out to buy these toys, but, you know, people with money don't know what to do with themselves, so, you know, these lawsuits are stupid. Now, pictures that come out of Misty Knight with her new bionic arm from season 2 of Luke Cage, and, you know, Misty Knight has a bionic arm in the comics, and she's part of the Daughters of the Dragon along with Colleen Wing, and they're part of the Heroes for Hire, so forth. They do jobs for money, and, you know, it was just a question of when she was going to get her bionic arm. In the first season of Luke Cage, she had both regular arms, and there was a part where they thought she was going to lose her arm because she got shot in her arm, but she didn't lose her arm, and now she has lost her arm. And the Defenders, I won't explain how it happened, but so now she's going to have a bionic arm. Now, whether the bionic arm is going to come from Tony Stark or not, we'll find out, because that's what she got it from in the comic books. So, Stanley, you need to rewire that brain of yours before you make statements in the chat room. Pepe the Frog, you know, poor Frog, you know, he's at this point the second most famous frog behind Kermit. The creators blocking sales of alt-right children's book with Pepe the Frog in it. And I don't even want to read this story, but it's available on my Facebook page, What Are You Reading Comic Book Show, if you want to keep up with the news that I post on there, so forth. A trailer for Blade of the Immortal came out. It's pretty bloody. I don't know much about it. I've heard of the property, but I'll check the movie out when it comes out. The Shazam movie begins pre-production. And if you're a Yu Yu Hakusho fan, well, his voice actor, I'm going to mess up the Japanese name, Noble Yuki Furutu, passed away. And I believe he passed away in a bad way, so you can read that also. I've never saw the Japanese version of Yu Yu Hakusho. I've only seen the American dub version. But I dig the series, of course. Watch all the episodes when it came out. And then when it stopped coming on TV, I even picked up all the DVDs so I can follow where it went and so forth. And I always thought it was a very underrated series here in the States. And I think the last thing we'll talk about real quick, Brenton Thorns is live action Robin for the Titans TV show. I don't know who that is, but I'm going to read this story real quick. It says DC Entertainment announced today that the cast of the live action Titans series found its leading man with Brenton Thorns. He was in Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man Tells No Tales, and Gods of Egypt. That guy. Okay, I know he's about now. Set to play Dick Grayson, a.k.a. Robin, in the upcoming series. Now, why is he playing Robin when he should be playing Nightwing? He's not like a teenager. He's a grown fucking man. He should be not playing Robin. It's going to look ridiculous, but we'll see how it turns out. Dick Grayson's one of the most important and iconic heroes in the DC universe. It wasn't easy to find him, but we have. That's a mistake. Playing him as Dick Grayson, and he should be Nightwing. But I guess because they're going to do a standalone Nightwing movie, which I think is a mistake, unless you introduce Nightwing first in a Batman movie, then, you know, they don't want to have a TV Nightwing and a movie Nightwing. But, yeah, this guy playing Robin, that's just going to look ridiculous. But we'll see. Look forward to the TV show. Hopefully they get it right. And that's going to be on the DC streaming service when that comes out. So you won't be able to watch it on regular TV. You won't have to get their service or have some way to pirate it, which I don't say you should, but, you know, you live in that kind of world. And so I believe that's all the news I have for this week. It's a holiday show. And so let me tell you about the other shows coming up here on Rant In Radio. And there's a show coming on today, 7:50. If you're into fantasy football, well, the Rant In Radio is having a fantasy football league. And if you hear my voice right now and you're interested, contact William Morgan on Facebook. So he can add you in real quick because the draft starts at 8 p.m. tonight. And so he's going on the air at 7:50, so we can talk about drafting and so forth. And then he won't be on tomorrow night, but if you come next Monday, he has a show called The Sports Reporter at 11:15, usually after when Raw goes off the air, where they talk about all kinds of sports, football, basketball, baseball, and so forth. And then Tuesday's a doubleheader where at 7 p.m. you get the Shining Wizards live at 7 p.m. And then you get the Rant live at 9 p.m. Then Thursday you get Rant and Wrestling. Fridays you get Turnbuckle Throwbacks at 9 p.m. And then I'll be back on the air. I should be back on the air on Sunday at 5 p.m. for the Whitey Reading Comic Book Show. With no technical problems. I had some earlier today, but somehow when I decided I wasn't going to do a show, the computer said, no, I'm sorry, I'll act right now. And then everything started working just like that. So I went on the air and did this show best I could. And if you listen live, I appreciate that. So, and like I said, if you want to call in on Skype whenever and talk comic books with me, you call in at SilverSurfer_forever. Be more than happy to discuss these things with. Oh, before I get up the air, Secret Empire 10 came out this week, and I never saw so much bitching in my life from people, because they're saying they're disappointed with the way it ended. So I'm gonna spoil it for you. If you're not interested, you can walk away at this point. So at the beginning of issue 10, all of Hydra is defeated except Captain America himself, who put on a Iron Man armor that was created for him, for Cap, to wear. And it was the Cosmic Cube, which Cap had assembled with like one shard of it missing, was placed into the army to power it. And he's trying to tell them, look, you know, this is over. Well, I don't want to fight y'all. I just want to make the place a better world for everybody. And the hills, even old man Logan's like, look, bub, you need to save your breath. We ain't trying to hear that shit. And they charge him. And he uses the cosmic cube to, like, wipe them away. And then he changes reality to where Hydro has always been in charge. You know, the monuments get changed and so forth to honor Hydra's history. And the only person left is Sam Wilson, Captain America, to stand up to Hydra Cap. And he has the one piece of the shard. He's walking towards him. And it's reminiscent to what happened in Infinity Gauntlet when all the heroes were defeated by Thanos, and Captain America was the only hero left, who's at the time, of course, was supposed to have been the weakest of all the heroes in that particular fight because he had no superpowers. But he was going to stand up to Thanos anyway, because he was the last man standing, and Cap will always believe, as long as if you're the last man standing, as long as you're standing, you have a chance. And of course, in that, real quick, in that book, Cap was nothing more than a distraction, because the plan was for the Silver Surfer to swoop in and grab the gauntlet from Thanos, but it didn't work. Silver Surfer missed, and then Cap got swatted away like a little boy, and then the rest of the story went on, because it was Thanos, he had the Infinity Gauntlet. So Sam Wilson's walking up, and he's like, look, you can't stand up to me, boy. He ain't call him boy, but you can't stand up to me, Sam. And Sam's like, you're right. And he gets on one knee, says, Hail Hydra. He hands over the piece of the cosmic cube. But what nobody knows is Bucky Barnes and Scott Lang Ant-Man, they're hiding the piece of the cube shrunk down. And Bucky's going to go inside the cube to get the sentient girl, the cosmic cubic, out of there. And Steve Rogers, who an essence of him is trapped in there. Now, whether he's the real Steve Rogers or not, you know, they kind of made it seem like he was just a memory of this little girl who remember how the old Cap was. But he goes in there and he does rescue them. And then all of a sudden, Cap doesn't have the cosmic cube because it's gone, and Cupid shows up, and she's mad, and she brings out the version of Captain America has been in the vanishing point this whole time, and he's in his full costume, and they start fighting, and Cap gets his shield back during the fight, and so now, you know, it's a thing when they, now these guys, these are supposed to be the same Steve Rogers, so they both have the same fighting abilities. And so it's an evenly matched fight, but it's, you know, things are reminiscent of what's been going on in the last several years of Marvel, like when Iron Man and Cap were fighting, and Iron Man shot his repulsors, and Cap is blocking it with his shield and so forth, which you saw in the Civil War movie too, probably one of the best scenes ever filmed in comic book history. And so they fight themselves to a draw, and they're both on the ground, and they look over to Thor's hammer. And they both go for the hammer, because whoever can get this hammer is going to win this real quick. And the Hydra Cap goes to pick it up, and the words in there is changed. It says, if whoever can pick this hammer up, if he be the strongest, will get the power of Hydra. But he can't pick up the hammer no more. And that was one of the shocking things about it. It was like, you know, after the heroes defeated, he picked up Thor's hammer and it was supposed to make him worthy. But it turns out he was becoming less and less worthy as the story was going on. And then the other Captain America says, let me take that. He hits him. And I don't know if he kills him or not, but he definitely defeats him. Now, what a lot of people are upset about is, you know, he has the shield, he has the hammer, and he says, you know, I told this guy the hammer, the shield didn't belong to you and it doesn't belong to me. And he gives it back to Sam Wilson. Now, people have that problem because now, for the moment, Sam Wilson is still supposed to be Captain America. But, you know, Cap gave the shield to Sam Wilson, so since he gave it away, that's why he's saying it's not his anymore. Now, Sam Wilson's going to give it back in an issue or two, so you're crying about nothing. And then he gives back the hammer, not to the Odin son, but to the female Thor, which a lot of people who claim to be upset about it being a female Thor only are saying that because they have not read Jason Aaron's run on Thor. Because if you've been reading it, you would not have a problem with it. And then, so, you know, you got all these legacy heroes like the Amadeus, Showhawk, and the new this, and the female Captain Marvel, and all these people who then are sent through the Vanishing Point, where they got books been coming out the last couple of months called Generations. I mean, last couple of weeks, actually. Generations, where, like, these newer versions of these heroes meet up with the older versions and, you know, go through a story. And then, you know, they're back through the Vanishing Point. But if you want to read what happened when these heroes through the Vanishing Point, you got to read these Generation books. And nothing was changed back as far as the damage that was done. So Black Widow was dead. Like, she was killed a couple issues ago. So, like, the memory of everything that went on, it has not been. Like, they used the Cosmic Cube to help Steve Rogers, but they didn't turn everything back to like, it never happened. So, you know, all the destruction and stuff, you know, all the memories of what happened is dead. So people will remember it happened, and they won't say otherwise. And people are upset over that, so. But you can't make people happy. And then, of course, now I will say Marvel has a lot of times done good crossover stories without doing a good ending. I wouldn't say this is one of them. I thought the main problem I had with the first Civil War was I thought it was great up to that ending, because just to have Captain America say, you know what, I'm going to give up because no one's listening, that was a, you know, a weak ending, but it still was a great story. And it, you know, there's been quite a few other books that just came up weak, but I'm not going to say this was one of them. I mean, you know, some people have they hate Marvel because Marvel has supposed to have diversity in their books, which, what's the problem with that? I mean, is everybody supposed to be a white male hero beating up on everybody? I mean, that's the only thing you relate to. You can't relate to a woman or a person of color. And a lot of times when they change heroes, it's not permanent, so just follow the storyline. And a lot of people had problem with Cap saying Hail Hydra in the first place, even before they even knew why he said it and what was going on. All they knew was that last page in that first Captain America book, and they're sending the man death threats, which it's like, you really got problems if you're going to send a death threat to a comic book writer for something he writes in a comic book. I mean, I've heard about this way back when Superman died, that writer got death threats and stuff. What are you threatening to kill somebody for over a comic book? It's not history. It's not permanent.
Right.
And so now there's another Secret Empire book, Omega, coming out, and I don't know if that's a series or one shot. Of course, that's going to tie everything up. And at some point, of course, Captain America will get his shield back, and Sam Wilson will go back to being Falcon. And Jane Foster Thor, she may or may not die, but the Odin son's going to get his hammer back. And then Tony Stark, who for the most part been like a Jarvis AI, I guess he'll go back into his body. And he'll be Iron Man again, and everybody be happy that everybody's white and male again. So, anyway, I'm done. I said my piece. don't eat too much barbecue, you know, and, you know, get in your rest while you can, because you got to go back to work on Tuesday. And for those who do have to work tomorrow, well, I know how that feeling is, because, you know, I worked on holidays too, but we'll see you then again next weekend. And Stanley, I don't want to hear, I don't want to see you on Interpol's most wanted list anymore, okay? Stay out of trouble. You know, just stay in the house, and you won't get yourself in trouble, and listen to the show on Sundays and stop saying crazy stuff, because take your medicine. That's all I got to say. You know, I like you, Stanley, but, you know, go see your doctor. All right, I'm out. Peace.